This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course, your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Yes, you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 here in St Kilda at the Victorian Pride Centre, Macca.
Thank you, Tass. And our next guest is Adele Ferguson, Walkley Award-winning journalist. I think you've also got some quills too, haven't you, Adele?
I do,
That's fine. Wanted to talk to you today about one topic, business interruption insurance. So a business insures for interruption to their business. Now, it could be earthquake, you know, storm, COVID perhaps. Are they able to claim? Because I see that, I think you mentioned that IAG have provisioned over $1 billion in their latest results for potential claims under these sort of policies, but are claims being paid?
Yes, no, that's exactly, it's a really fascinating area. So it's, yes, you're right, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of small businesses out there which are eligible to lodge business claims. They've taken out policies to cover them for loss of revenue caused by these unexpected events. And a lot of the policies have exclusions for pandemics,
okay. But
some of them don't. And that's the thing. Some of them don't for reasons including just sloppy writing of the policies. And in the beginning when COVID happened and you had the lockdown, some small businesses rang up their insurance brokers and were told, no, you can't claim, go away. So they just didn't bother. And it was part of a... basically, the industry were in lockstep together trying to make people think, don't bother claiming because... Even if it was in the insurance policy, it was a mistake. That's basically what they were saying. We didn't mean to have it in there, so cop it on the chin. What happened in the UK was the regulator came out and said, we're going to take a series of these policies to court and come up with a ruling. And the ruling was the insurance companies had to pay out. So the UK is done and dusted. In Australia, it was a lot more complicated than that. The insurance industry fought back. Our regulator didn't have the powers to do that sort of thing. So they did a test case. The insurance companies lost. They appealed it to the High Court and they lost. And now there's a second test case. But meanwhile, all of these companies could be lodging their claims, but they're not. And, you know, Suncorp has put away $200 million or more for expected claims. IAG, as I said, has put $1.1 billion.
Wow.
QBE's put money aside. So it's a really big deal. And there's only been about 3,000 or more that have lodged complaints with with AFCA, which is the Financial Complaints Authority. And people are thinking, what is going on here?
Mm. Yeah, it's a bit disturbing because... You know, obviously, an insurance policy that specifically excludes a pandemic, okay. But if it doesn't, then how can the argument, how can they argue, or, you know, how can they be running test cases? I mean, to me, it just seems, you know, that the insurance industry are trying to avoid paying the claims, pure and simple, aren't they?
Pure and simple. And I'll give you a case of a woman that I interviewed. Her name's Josephine Woodbury. She has a dance studio in Preston and, you know, she's been operating there for years. She had this policy which didn't have the exclusion. So she lodged her claim and it was with ACSA AXL, and this is what the relevant clause states. If loss results from the interruption interference with the business directly arising from the closure of the whole or part of the premises by an order of a competent authority consequent upon the outbreak of a notifiable human infectious contagious disease occurring within the immediate vicinity of the premises shall be deemed to be a loss resulting from damage to property.
That's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear. So what they're saying is the fine print includes the words immediate vicinity. Woodbridge business is located 280 metres from the Preston market, which suffered an outbreak. But the insurance company said that wasn't close enough for the insurer.
Oh.
So she's still fighting. So there's a class action brewing. It's incredible what's going on. But, yeah, they're really holding firm, and very few people have been paid out because the insurance companies are saying, wait until this second test case, which is currently on at the moment. It's been running all this week, and I think it goes for another week, and then we have to wait to find out what the result is. The insurance companies will probably take it to the High Court, and so it goes on.
It's pretty disturbing. Something else, Adele, I see that Nicholas Moore, now Nicholas Moore is previously from Macquarie Bank, is that correct?
Yes, he was the CEO for many, many years.
So he's been appointed, and I actually, you know, I thought this was something from the Batuta Advocate, but he's actually been appointed to run a new body that's going to oversee ASIC and APRA. So
yes,
the ex-CEO of Macquarie is going to run organisations that are going to oversee the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority and the Australian Securities and Investment Commission. I mean, someone's got a great sense of humour, haven't they?
Yeah, well, the appointment was made by our treasurer, Josh Frydenberg.
Oh, Josh has got a great sense of humour.
Yes, so it has caused some consternation of, you know, wondering how, you know, hoping, you know, Nicholas Moore will be independent given, you know, some of the subjects I've been talking about on your show is Nuix and Macquarie.
Yes.
Given ASIC is actually investigating both organisations over the whole role of Nuix and the IPO, which, you know, fell, the share price fell 80% due to, you know, alleged misleading prospectus numbers.
Was he at Macquarie when the Nuix thing was going on? Was he on the board or was he completely removed?
He was the CEO of Macquarie. So Macquarie has been an investor in Nuix for many years when he was there. You know, he may not have known anything about Nuix because it would have been tiny at the time, but it's just the, you know, some of the direct reports. It's just a very interesting one. I'm sure he still knows people at Macquarie who are being investigated or asked questions by ASIC about the whole role of Nuix.
I'm not sure quite what to make of all that, Adele. I think it's an interesting decision. Shows a lot of courage on the part of the treasurer.
Indeed.
Now, some of the Royal Commission's findings with regard to the banks. What's the report card there? How are the banks performing? Have they met them all, or are they sort of ignoring them?
So it's a really interesting piece was written by an academic called Helen Bird, who's a lecturer at Swinburne University for governance. And she's had a look at the Royal Commission's 76 recommendations that were made, which the government under, you know, Josh Frydenberg at the time said, we are going to accept all of these. And what she's done is she's looked at them, she's gone back and looked at the press releases and has said that, you know, if you read the press releases, 80%, it sounds like it's all done and dusted. They're doing a great job. Everything's going swimmingly well. But she said if you actually dig a bit deeper into the press releases, you'll find that more than half of the recommendations were abandoned, watered down significantly, or yet to be implemented, or just basically kicked down the road or neglected. And she's done it, you know, she's looked at green, which means enacted, orange, which means they've been modified, blue, the recommendations are in progress, red, no progress, and white, some way into the future. And what Helen Bird says is the orange ones are the really interesting ones because they cover responsible lending, mortgage broking, remuneration, anti-hawking, you know, and financial advisors. Some of the really big deals in the Royal Commission that came out with, you know, fees for no service, paying, you know, taking money out of dead people's estates, that sort of thing. And they've been basically modified, watered down, and nowhere to be seen.
Now, we've got a bit of feedback for you, Adele. Well, it's actually it's for us.
It's quite considered, actually.
So this is about the insurance companies, and the listener says, it isn't entirely accurate, and I'm disappointed that insurers are denigrated for pure and simple trying to avoid those losses. Insurers are already paying losses for COVID-related claims. Insurers lost the first test case on whether the old Quarantine Act exclusion could still apply. Rightly so, for sloppy wording allowing claims leakage. The second test case is whether the outbreaks need to take place at the premises, which is ongoing and more closely follows the intent of insurance to provide cover for fortuitous and specific losses. It's against the public interest for insurers to be on the hook for decisions made by government. Oh, okay. We don't insure war for this reason. The inevitable reason of a flood of claims for public policy decisions will be to restrict available coverage in the future. Now, I suspect the listener perhaps works in the insurance industry. And that's,
did you really, Macca?
But it's an interesting point, you know, because it is the old Quarantine Act. The reality is, as you've said, some insurers are paying out or have made provision. Making provision doesn't mean they're going to pay out. But others, where it is clear, aren't paying out. So anyway, I just wanted to share that feedback with you. It shows someone was listening to us.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I think one of the issues is the first test case was just so incredibly narrow. They could have had a much wider test case, but they chose to have a very narrow definition and then take it through to the court. And then have a second case. And then we're going to probably have a third test case. You know, so it's just meanwhile, everybody's in limbo. And in terms of the Quarantine Act, yes, that's correct. But there were some policies that were very loosely written and didn't do the right thing. And and that's why we're talking about hundreds of thousands who are eligible to lodge a claim. You know, there's probably millions of businesses that do have these policies that are ineligible, and it's the eligible ones that we're talking about here.
Adele, I'd like to change the topic just briefly if I can. I know we're nearly out of time, and maybe we might have to schedule a follow-up conversation about this, but I'm interested in your very high-level reflections on JobKeeper. Do you have any sort of high-level messages or thoughts about the way in which that program and those funds have been allocated to business?
Yeah, I think we all have an opinion on that. It was, you know, it was necessary at the time, but then it should have been changed, and instead we've got, you know, $13 billion of money that went to businesses that shouldn't have claimed it and aren't giving it back. And the lack of transparency, the fact that the government is not revealing who those companies are. And Senator Rex Patrick was asking for the list of those companies. He wasn't asking for the fish and chip shop or the small corner store.
Yeah, 10 million plus.
He was asking for, you know, more significant size companies. And we've seen by the companies that had to reveal through ASX announcements, the public shame has meant some of them pay the money back. And that's why I think transparency is really important here.
Transparency and some of the sort of policy decisions of late don't go together hand in hand in my observation.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. You know, it's just been a complete balls up. And the fact that, you know, I don't know whether you saw on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, they had a really good segment on JobKeeper.
No,
yes. Josh Frydenberg failed to turn up. He was invited but declined the interview. And it was really just exposing how unfair it is that businesses are being forced to pay it back. Whereas, you know, if you were on Centrelink and you got paid extra, they're chasing you for $1,000. And there was one woman on saying, I'm happy to pay it back because I was overpaid and I will pay it back. But I do think it's unfair that you've got these businesses that made record profits.
Yes, I did see that. I did see that.
Yeah.
Adele, we might park that one for further discussion further down the track, if that's okay, because there's a lot more to talk about.
There is.
Yeah. Adele, thank you very much for your time this morning. We are unfortunately out of time. We do need to wind up and take a
thank
break.
Thank you. Thanks, Adele.
Great. Thank you. Thanks.
Cheers. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and keep up the great work.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.